Welcome to About an Education podcast, a monthly podcast exploring all things education. In this podcast, we talk to Andy Taylor about the importance of teacher development and professional learning, whilst considering why so many teachers do not engage with much further development post their own teacher training. Andy works within ITT at the University of Worcester, having previously worked in schools in and around Gloucestershire for 16 years. During that time, Andy was an NQT mentor, and he continues to share his experience and expertise and support NQTs through his Twitter at Mr. T's NQT Support. And his current role at the university is to support the early career teaching community alongside teaching on the undergraduate and postgraduate ITT courses. So there's no one better to have a chat to about professional development then, is there? So welcome, Andy.
Thanks, Catherine.
So let's start off with the big wide question of why to you is professional development and learning so important for teachers?
Oh, it's such a big question that, because I think it's almost, if you flip it, and why wouldn't you want to engage in professional development and kind of that further learning? It helps you to rebuild your love of the role. I think it gives you that enthusiasm. As teachers, we can get kind of quite bogged down in the day-to-day of kind of running through what's happening each day. We've got deadlines to meet, things we need to get done, objectives we need to tick off. And sometimes that ability to step back and to listen to others, to engage with that wider professional discussion around things, that can then give you that inspiration of maybe looking at things from a different perspective, that allows you to still tick off all those day-to-day bits, but actually find you a way that re-energizes and enthuses you, and to be able to kind of give you that love for the role back again. And I think, you know, every teacher comes in because they want to do the best job possible for the children that they're working with. They want the people that they're working with to succeed and to thrive. And that also means that we have to engage that with ourselves, and we have to want ourselves to learn and to thrive and to engage in those wider conversations that will allow us then to have that even stronger impact on the pupils that we're working with or the people that we're supporting.
And I think as well, it might be seen as teaching is teaching, but actually akin to something like the tech industry, for example, I think teaching is forever changing and ideas are changing, and we have different methodologies and pedagogies that perhaps if we've been teaching a long time, things do change. And it doesn't mean to say they were wrong when we were doing it. The teaching evolves, and maybe do we give enough attention to the fact that teaching is an evolving profession and with evolving skills like we do, say, in tech? You wouldn't not engage with keeping up with new training and new innovation in the technology industry.
No, absolutely. I think you're spot on. When I trained to teach, I trained to teach using the national strategy. So it was very much the literacy hour and the numeracy hour. And that was the way you were actively encouraged to teach. And Ofsted would be looking for that very prescriptive pedagogy, if you like, that way of delivering learning to children. Whereas now we would look back on that and think, almost, why on earth are we being so kind of rigid about the way we were delivering, and that flexibility? And there are still elements of it that are really strong with the practice that it wants to develop and to deliver. But as you said, things evolve and we reshape it, we learn, and as we're moving through. And the systems that we're working in, the context that we're working in, changes and evolves a lot as well. The pupils that we're working with, when I first started in education, when pupils came in to the school, most of the time their speech and language was very strong, they were very capable, they had good self-care, they were very self-sufficient. Whereas what I found during my last kind of 4 or 5 years working in primary education is more and more pupils were coming in with language difficulties than ever before. Speech and language was such a huge concern. The majority of pupils we had on our CND register were around speech and language, And that's a change in the demographic and the pupils that we're working with over time. And we need to be able to change and evolve to be able to meet those needs that are coming up with us. And I think pedagogy is one of those elements that's always, as you said before, it's evolving. I think the theories that it kind of fits within, everything can probably be traced back to a theory that was developed at some point, but the way that's then interpreted and the way it's delivered to the pupils is that evolution. And there is some amazing practice that happens in schools that nobody else knows about, because it's just very much like, oh, well, isn't this just what everybody else does? And I think sometimes we lose that connection with others as teachers. We get very much kind of in the way of this is the way that this school works. And I think that professional development and looking out beyond your own classroom and beyond your own school can be a really strong way of continuing that professional development.
And I always think people always look at me a bit strangely when I say this, but I always say teaching can be quite a lonely profession, and people look at me strangely because they think, well, you're surrounded by people and surrounded by children. But actually, if you're in your own classroom for the majority of your day, and more classes don't have teaching assistants in primary schools now and have rarely done in secondary schools anyway for a long time, it's quite lonely. And you're doing what you do, but there's nothing there to compare with, to get or bounce ideas off. So actually, exactly like you said, getting out there, looking at other practice and considering other pedagogies, other ways of doing things, different resources, is just so important.
It is, absolutely. And I think when in your training years, you are exposed to, it seemed good practice to expose you to as much teaching as possible. You know, you work in different schools, you have placements in different settings, you're encouraged to go and watch this person teach. Fingers crossed that continues in during QT year and you get a mentor that supports you with, you know, sending you out to other schools to observe really good practice in other schools or other practice within your own school. I know obviously current situation makes that a little bit more difficult to be able to move around and cross bubbles, but you know, that's really good practice. Yet we seem to feel that actually beyond that point, that opportunity almost disappears unless there is usually somebody external will come in and tell you you're not doing a very good job and will guide you to where you need to be looking. But I think it's always looking outwards as well. Sometimes we have to look inwards on our professional development. So what is happening in my room with my children? How am I going to develop that? But also it's that time of lifting your head up and outside of the classroom, think, well, how are other people doing it? What other things can I draw on?
And you could be doing a really, really good job, but you can still do things differently. And particularly those teachers that are perhaps so committed, they're really engaged and they are doing a really good job. It's those that benefit hugely as well from additional development, not so much in a support capacity, but that kind of sparking of ideas that then continues with to sort of light their fires, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, that ability to be able to go and see others, to see that if you know, whenever I've watched anybody teach, I've always taken something away from it and thought, you know, I'm going to give that a go. I really like that. There's always something that you can take away that just kind of gets that imagination or that, as you said, it sparks that fire again, ignites you again. Oh, that's amazing. I really want to kind of give that a go. And that's going to make a real impact on my pupils. But also I think there's also that element of actually, if you think you're doing something really good, is, you know, putting yourself out there and saying, does anybody want to come and watch what I'm doing here and to share the good practice that's happening? Because there is so much good practice that happens in, you know, 50 square foot classrooms out there that nobody gets to see. Yeah. That is just outstanding, you know, using that terminology, is excellent practice that needs to be shared. And I think the way that things are going at the moment, I think CPD, just by going to look at other people teaching, is a really positive way forward. Obviously, you know, when the situation changes and we're allowed to kind of mix a little bit more.
And you, like myself, worked in we both work in teacher education, so we do have that privilege of seeing so many snippets of lessons in so many different contexts. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've seen, despite seeing loads and for teaching for years, I can remember some amazing moments. You thought, that is just a gem of an idea. I can remember seeing a student teacher teaching, I think it was a year one class, and she said that she was really struggling to get them to edit their work. They were just reading it again and they weren't making any amendments. It was, they were just glazing over it. And she came up with this amazing idea that she found a template, and they made themselves editor's glasses, and they all designed them. So they did a bit of art and craft. They had their own glasses, kept them in their tray, and it transformed their editing. And it is just this most amazing idea. And you think, wow. And I've since shared that with very experienced teachers and so on. And everyone said, oh, that's a good idea. But I know her mentor herself, when she finished her placement, actually said, oh, she may be going and we're going to miss her. The glasses are staying. And so it's those gem moments, and you can learn. It doesn't matter where you are in your career, there's always capacity to learn, which really brings me on to my next question. And in all honesty, do you feel that teachers continue to engage? So we've got the early career framework coming in, which brings an entitlement for the first 2 years to access development. But say beyond that, into those important, I think, sort of early-ish years in teaching, do you really think that teachers engage enough with high quality development and learning after they've finished their sort of training and induction period?
I think there's kind of two elements to that question. I think you've got that, do they continue to engage in development? And I think there are opportunities as you go step out of those early career teacher years, when you're into those more that establishing phase, should we say. Often that comes with things like subject leadership, and that then can bring opportunities to network with other subject leaders. And, you know, many multi-academy trusts will bring subject leaders together, or in local authorities will bring subject leaders together to allow you to network. And I think that provides that opportunity. However, there are teachers that don't have that opportunity because, again, very small schools, or quite I said, or aren't taking on subject leadership responsibilities. But it's still about how we invest and develop them. And I think the other bit is that high quality element to that question is actually, where is that CPD coming from? And I think there is so much CPD that is out there. If you go looking for it, you know, you can put it on websites, you can troll, you can put it through Google, and it will bring you up a raft of it. But it's sometimes knowing for teachers kind of, what is that high quality? Where is that kind of that certainty about that actually this is going to support me, this is high quality and has that kind of like I said, that certainty that it's going to support me in my development and give me something that's really going to kind of move me forward in my career. I think one of the easiest ways is networking. I think networking is such a powerful tool, and that opportunity to talk with other teachers within your own school, teachers outside of your own setting, as far and wide as you can, really, is such a powerful tool for professional development. And, you know, I've mentioned at the start, I'm quite active on Twitter, and I learn so much from watching, from seeing people on Twitter, ideas that they're putting out there, thinking, that's incredible, that's a brilliant idea. And the generosity of people, willingness to share their ideas is just phenomenal, really. And there is so much out there, but it's about being discerning about what you're seeing. And that can sometimes be the tricky bit, because you can get kind of, like I said, awash with all these different things possibly coming at you. And it's about knowing, actually, is that relevant for me? Is that going to work in my context, in my setting? Yes, brilliant. If not, actually, how could I tweak it? How could I amend that so it does work in my setting? And I think the best CPD that you can have is when you go and you think something, okay, that's really interesting, but how am I going to make it work in my setting? How am I going to make it work in my class, in my school? And it's that tweaking then to make it really fit, to make it really purposeful. Because sometimes when we try and just lift something directly from somewhere else into our own settings, into our own classrooms, onto one specific child, it doesn't always work, because there are so many different contextual issues that we need to be mindful of. But it's about seeing that idea that just sparks that something. Oh, I could work with that. How can I move that forward? Where can I move it to?
And I think, you know, the obvious I'm going to state is that expensive CPD is not always the best. Yeah. Long single days in a room are not always the best. And we know, and we'll park the fact that we know that there are some statutory training that needs to happen, and that's fine. But I think what's really important is that we don't stop at the statutory training. And that's when, exactly like you said, what's relevant to me now, right now, what do I need? But also a bit of navel gazing in, where am I looking to go in my career? And how can I invest in myself now so that when I'm ready for that move, I've already got the skills and the experience kind of under my belt to make the move, rather than getting to that point and thinking, now I need to do all of this. So I think it is investment in self as well, but definitely the world is awash with varying courses and this, that, and the other. But I do think as well, places like Twitter, with the normal health warnings associated, is a great place, and the majority of teachers on there are really supportive of one another, answer questions, give their opinion, share, like you say. So it really is looking, and when you've got someone, you find someone that's really good on Twitter, have a look at who they are following and interacting with, because then you're most likely to find some other good people that think, you know, similarly to you. But people aren't engaging. When I speak to teachers, they're just saying that they don't do much of it, the it being training, other than the statutory and the things that they need to do. What do you think are the key barriers? Why are they saying, I don't get enough of it, I don't do enough, I don't get offered the opportunity?
Absolutely. I think to be honest, there are two kind of really key elements for me that restrict teachers engaging in CPD. And if you look at the research around CPD and that engagement with it, is actually it can make the biggest impact on a school's development, having that opportunity for high quality CPD. But I think it's that it's time is one of the biggest kind of barriers for teachers there. As we've said earlier, you know, you get stuck in the day-to-day, there's so many elements that you need to be engaging with all the time just to keep the classroom running, and having that time to think, actually, do you know what, I'm going to prioritize my own learning, sometimes that time just isn't there. Or it's, do you know what, it's 6 o'clock, I've just about to leave home, the thought of then going and engaging with learning at that point can be quite challenging. And it's about, as you said, that navel gazing, like finding, what are you passionate about, what, you know, what do you want to develop, where do you see yourself going? And there are, you know, university courses out there that you can engage in, master's level work that you could look towards and kind of build upon to kind of think about, where do I want to go, where do I see myself going? And my own experience, I 3 years in, I started a master's in inclusive education because I knew that inclusion and SEN was a real passion and something interested, but it was a big time commitment. And I often get asked, you know, or doing a master's in my NQT year, do you think it's a good idea? And it is a big time commitment that you're kind of putting yourself forward for. But it was something I was passionate about. So, you know, you give that time very freely. But it is about, you know, having that time, I think, is one of the biggest barriers. The other thing I think is the financial and the financial availability of it. A lot of schools will fund that very statutory CPD or CPD that's very focused on the school development priorities. Where are we going as a school? What do we need to drive that forward? There's not always the budget there for you as a teacher to ask for, to develop your own kind of interest, your own way of moving forward if it doesn't fit in within that programme. And, you know, as we were all very aware, that school budgets are very tight things, and that flexibility within that budget is not always, it's not always free and easy. There's not always that, they're like, absolutely, you know, yeah, here's 150 quid for you to do this course, or a few £1,000 for you to engage in this training here. It's not always that straightforward. But it is about, you know, seeking out and asking for those opportunities, that if it is something you're interested about, sometimes it may be, actually, we can't afford it yet, but there is an opportunity, or maybe even supported with part funding if it is something that you're really, really passionate about. And I think if you've got that passion for it and you can share it and you can show that impact for it and you can put a case forward, I'd like to think the majority of schools would be very supportive of that and kind of want to support you with it in moving you forward and see the benefit that it would bring to the school. But I think that's the other kind of the key barrier is the financial side, is being able to invest in that. And because, as we've talked about before, some CPD is quite expensive. And some of the CPD that's most beneficial is that longitudinal CPD, where you get that real constant revisiting all the time, and you're building that knowledge on that you're reflecting, you're taking it back, you're going back, you're discussing things, you're moving it on, rather than, as we said, those single days where it's like, bam, there it is, off you go. You don't always then get that follow up through it. And there's some really strong CPD out there that will help you develop, but it is about picking and choosing the right ones and finding the time and the finances to be able to get to engage with it.
It's about, I think, taking ownership of your own CPD and development in as we move on. But I think as well, it's those kind of, I was thinking as you were talking, you know, you firstly said about when you finish school and you've got all your tasks to do, and teachers do have a never-ending to-do list. And the last thing you want to do is to engage in a webinar or access some online learning or whatever it is, or go to a twilight session when you're leaving school. And I was thinking, it's about the times that I go out running, I don't remember a time that I've ever really wanted to go. But I know that when I'm doing it, it's quite enjoyable. And when I finish it, I'm really pleased that I have. And I think it's similar to that. So sometimes it sounds counterintuitive, but sometimes even though you're really tired, and time is tight for teachers, it's kind of teachers' number one enemy, I think. It seems counterintuitive, but actually I think the more time you invest, the more energy you actually get for your job. And it's so easy to say, I just can't, I haven't got time, I'm tired. But actually you end up sometimes in a negative cycle there, whereas if you kind of, I'm tired, but you feel energized by engaging regularly beyond your school. It's refreshing, would you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. I completely agree with you, and you're right. It does feel counterintuitive. You've marked all those books, you've finally got home, it can energize you. Listening to somebody talk really passionately about something that they really believe in, that you can really see what, you can buy into what they're offering, that you think, actually, do you know what, that does give you that spark, that energy back to kind of go in the next day and think, right, you know, fresh start, I'm going to give that a go. I'm just going to try one of those elements. Just take one thing away. And I think for CPD, if you can always just take one thing that's going to influence on your practice, it's been effective, that you can really kind of use and move it forward. And absolutely, you get that energy. You can fall back in love with the job again. You find that teaching, that enthusiasm. And I think, you know, we're all very aware that workload for teachers is hard, as we've said, and it can kind of, you can feel very stuck in kind of that cycle. But absolutely doing something different and just bringing something new in, it just re-energizes you, revitalizes you, makes you think, gives you a fresh outlook on things. And sometimes just even speaking to somebody in your own school, your own building, or even outside, just somebody else who kind of shares that passion, that you can kind of talk, you energize each other then, and you can move that forward. And CPD doesn't always have to be that, you know, that expensive course bought into. It's just finding other like-minded people that you can kind of establish those connections, even locally, that you just talk about something that's important to you. One of the most successful things I've ever had in school was we had an EYFS group cluster, and it was just the schools, the EYFS teachers would meet and would talk about EYFS, and they would do that every half term. And the sharing of practice was really strong. It re-energized them, it gave them that focus again. And it's simple things that we can kind of try and find those ways to network and develop our ideas beyond those four walls and really kind of build that energy and enthusiasm again. And like you said, you know, it's seeing it that it is time, but actually it's time that's going to then re-energize me and refocus me and ready for the next steps.
Yeah. And you talked of finance, and there is no doubt that school budgets are extraordinarily tight, and it's easy to chip away a little bit at your budget that you perhaps once had for development, because it gets to the point that you're so close to the bone that you can see head teachers' decision making as, I'm going to eat into every possible non-human budget element rather than and cut into my staffing. So you can see exactly that, that money's tight. And I think obviously there is a statutory, once you've come out of all of what they have to pay for, it is tight. But, and whilst I don't advocate this as being the right thing, I really do think that if a teacher wants to invest in their own career and are committed to it, that, that it is sadly of the time at the moment where you can't rely on your school to fund, even if they would love to. And actually it's about looking for affordable development opportunities, things that are free, like you say, through networking, or things that are affordable. And there are affordable things out there that you can have, or podcasts like this that you can listen to for absolutely nothing, and still get that that initial kind of light, relighting of the fire. So it isn't something I advocate, but do you find the same, that actually if I'm in teaching, I have to put my hand in my own pocket a little bit or seek other options?
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked for different heads over the years, and one of them very much prioritised CPD and staff development was a key priority, and was seen as that. And actually there was a sizable CPD pot that was protected in order to develop that. And another one very similarly is what you described earlier. Actually, that was one of the first things to go in order to protect things like staffing when budgets tighten. So it is, depending on the school that you're in, the philosophy of the school and we're looking out for, there could be the opportunity that, yes, it would fund, but equally, if it is something that you are passionate about and you know there's going to be that long-term kind of payback about your well-being, your own enthusiasm for the role, and financially even further on, if it leads to promotions or other opportunities further on, then I think there is a place where sometimes we have to kind of say, actually, this is something I want, this is something I'm kind of want to drive towards doing, I will invest in it for myself to develop me as a person, and then see where those opportunities lead.
And there are loads of creative things, and we've kind of mentioned a few, and I'm certainly well into putting on my headphones on my dog walk and listening to a podcast, or putting it on in the car and on your way home, as you're kind of making that transition. And so there are plenty of things that you can access now that perhaps weren't around even 5 years ago, I would say, that you can access. And I would encourage teachers to do exactly this and share it. Once you find a little gem, share it amongst your peers and your friends who are teachers. Put it on Twitter to share it in a wider community, because actually we're all here to support one another. And if we're finding some great gems, do pass on the word to everybody. It'd be great. So lastly, as we kind of draw to a close, if a teacher, Andy, is listening and thinking, I've been sat back waiting, I haven't engaged with or had much opportunity to engage with development since my ITE program, and they want to, they're thinking, right, I want to take ownership of my own development, that's it, I'm going to map it out, I'm going to really go for it. What would be your advice to them about how, where, what would you do if you were starting
to do? Absolutely. I think if you know you want to take, like you said, control of your career, of where you want to go, start with what you're passionate about. What is it that ignites you about teaching? It could be a specific subject, could be an area, could be an approach that you want to look at, something like philosophy for children, could be play therapy, things like that, that you think, actually, I'm really passionate about developing this. Then network is my best advice. Hop on social networks, find other people. There was hashtags to be used. You can find people that are very similar that you can build those connections with. And sometimes it's just watching for a little while and just seeing what people are tweeting about or posting, and just seeing actually that's quite a good piece of information, and start to build that picture up about, actually, yes, this is something I'm really passionate about. This is something I'm interested in. And then reach out, make those connections with other people. And you can learn so much just from a conversation with somebody. And you will find those people that you resonate with, that kind of fit with you and you're aligned with your values and your ethos, that you think, actually, I could learn a lot from those conversations. And, through my own connections on Twitter, I've had opportunities to connect with other people that, again, that you learn so much from in those conversations that you can really build. And then that starts to build that passion again. And then you can look at then those more formal kind of qualifications, because already you'll be starting to build your knowledge. You'll start to implement those practices in your classroom. And actually then if you can start to say, I've been doing this in my classroom, you can have this conversation with your head teacher. This is the impact I've seen it having. I think we need to spread this a little bit wider. Would you be willing to, you know, to part fund with me, to train me, to kind of, you know, to learn a little bit more about this? Or I've spotted this course I'd like to do. Could I have the time out of school, even if you're going to self-fund, to be able to do it? And I think if you can kind of present the impact that you're going for and where you want to go, that really, really kind of stands you in a really good stead for making your argument. But it's about where, as we said earlier, that passion and where you want to go. And everybody's career will take a different path in teaching. And some people want to head on to headship. So you could be looking like an NPQ kind of qualification. Some people want to just be the best teacher that they can be. So it's about broadening your understanding of pedagogical approaches, or really refining something to be like an advanced skills teacher or a specialist leader in education that you could really kind of focus in on. And it's looking for those opportunities that then will come up, and multi-academy trusts, local authorities or independent bodies will often advertise for these roles, and you can kind of go through and talk about, actually, this is what I've been investing in my own time. I've been developing this. And you can then start to shape your own career. Where do you want to go with it? And it is about taking control of it. And sometimes we're in a situation, we're in school, that provides opportunities. We'll come and say to you, do you want to do this? Do you want to have a go at this? But equally, there you could be in a school where actually you need to be seeking those opportunities and saying, actually, I'd find this really fascinating. I'd find this really interesting. Please, can I kind of find out a little bit more about this? Can I take on that role and move it forward that way? And I think it's about, you know what type of school that you're in, and you'll be able to know where that would go. And it's, like I said, about finding your passion, connecting with other people that share it, and then really seeking that best source of CPD through connecting with other people, and then branching out more formally through CPD and trying to secure training in that area to really push things forward.
And I think, I'll be honest, and I say this to people, that, you know, opportunities are not going to fall through the roof of your classroom. People aren't going to always think of you. It doesn't matter how good you are. Head teachers are busy. They don't always think, oh, that's a great opportunity for so-and-so. And it's something that I wish, actually, I'd done earlier on in my career, is take ownership of my own development. I think I was waiting politely for someone to invite me. And if I wasn't being invited, end of, I wasn't wanted, that kind of thing. So I do think you need to, and I wish I had taken that own development and really gone with it. And like you say, ask, and if you don't get, think about how you can create yourself. Yeah. and really go for it, but do engage with things, because actually I think it enriches your own career. And do things that take you out of your comfort zone a little bit. I mentored an early career teacher, and she's actually got a 5 for 5 about the impact of mentoring on our Bowdoin website. And she was so worried about doing it, but when I listened to it, all I could think about is how I needed to do mine better and how good it was. So it's having those different things on your CV that just broaden your mind. You see a different way. So absolutely. So key things from this, I think, are you ask, you develop what you're interested in, and you ask for opportunities, that you do continue regularly to get involved in development. And that isn't sort of doing a one day every year. It's that little and often drip feeding, like you say. And finally, reach out, use social networks, reach out and ask, because you ask people, the worst thing they can say is no, and you're in no worse place. So thank you so much. We could talk, I expect, for about development and all of this for hours and days even. But thank you so much for yours. And don't forget, if you are listening, that Andy has his Twitter account, and the handle is @MrT'sNQTSupport. And He offers advice and guidance to NQTs and beyond NQTs, indeed, and those transitioning between their teacher education and not, with some great, right now, some great potentially interview questions popping up each day. So thank you so much, Andy. It's been really interesting talking to you. And if you are out there crafting your career, we wish you all the very best of luck.
Thanks, Catherine.